I marvel at the leading of the Spirit of God. I had it on my heart to just take up, really from a gospel perspective, the end of the path. And our brother Ed spoke really from the sovereignty side of things, perhaps a little more. But I'd like to read some passages of Scripture that have to do with responsibility. Let's look in Revelation chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 4. Revelation 4 and verse 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. How is it that these people came to be here? Is this the cream of the crop? Is this the best that there is? Were these the ones that did something to earn the favor of God? Not so. But they're there. You know, there's 24 elders, there's 12 that represent the Old Testament saints that are there. Based on the principle of faith, they believed God was accounted unto them for righteousness. And then there's 12 that represent really those that after the cross, by the grace of God, believed upon the Lord Jesus and accepted his finished holy work, applied the blood to themselves as those that were sinners before God. And by faith, I'm on the, at the, because of the sovereignty and the goodness and the love of God, the end of the story is they find themselves before the throne, cleansed, made fit for the presence of a holy God, sitting on a cushion. Those are cushions, the seats, sitting. The work is finished. Sitting in the presence of the Lord, observing his glory, and there fitted for eternal praise and thanksgiving and worship. Perfectly fitted. What were they? What was the sample material, you might say? I was thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, not a very nice list. But verse 9, it says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, really it should be, nor those who make women of themselves, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What sample material. We find in the sovereignty and the goodness of God, he is in his love, desired to have heaven filled with those that display the image of his Son, suited companions to the Son of God, morally, physically, spiritually suitable to be companions for him. They find themselves in that scene of glory, seated with crowns on their heads. Marvelous. They put their faith in Christ and the finished work of Christ. What material. We read of another scene. We don't have a lot of time to go into any detail, but let's look at Revelation chapter 20. And the gospel of the grace of God brings in the responsibility of man. There is the sovereignty of God, but there is the responsibility of man. And our brother Josh brought before us in connection with our relationships as members of the body of Christ, those of us that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we do have responsibility. In the sovereignty of God, there is one body. But there is responsibility. And this afternoon, you sat through these meetings for 2 days. And if you're sitting in your seat this afternoon without God, without hope, without faith in Christ, never having received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, now's the time to receive Him as your Savior. There are going to be different judgments. This judgment that we read of in Revelation chapter 20 is after the millennium. Our brother Ed read about the eternal state in those few verses in Revelation chapter 21. The first 8 verses have to do with the eternal state. We don't have very many verses in Scripture that tell us about the eternal state, but those do. Very simple language. But in chapter 20, after the millennium, after the old earth and the old heavens are destroyed, there's going to be another scene. Brother used to say that prophecy is history. It's written ahead of time, but it's history. If God looks at it as if it's already taken place, it will take place. And it says in chapter 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God. The books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell were delivered up, the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How did they get there? How? Why? Why is this scene taking place? Why is this throne and the people before this throne standing? Not a single one sitting. Why? Scripture says they died in their sins. You know what it says in Revelation? I think it's chapter 14, verse 13. It says, blessed are they that die in the Lord. Oh, what a happy thing it is to die and to know the Lord Jesus, the Savior. We're not looking for death. We're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. But our brother Jim is with Christ. There were two men that died on September the 6th. I knew both of them. Brother Jim, one of them. Another man, Mr. Chevalier, from the Peterborough area. Brother in the little assembly in Denton, his father, never made a profession of faith in Christ. God is sovereign. It may be that he accepted Christ before he left this scene, but it's a solemn thing. There are going to be some that sit in the presence of the Lord Jesus and have crowns upon their heads. There are going to be some that stand at the great white throne and are cast from his presence into the lake of fire. Which company are you going to be in? We know that there's going to be a harvest judgment. I'm not going to get into that. Our time is up. But we need to know what determined the destiny. Your destiny is determined today, at this very hour. Today is the day of salvation. Do you have faith in Christ? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Love. The love of Christ, the love of God has given you a desire and an opportunity in responsibility to respond to His love as to whether you will receive Christ as Savior. You're being offered an opportunity this very afternoon to accept Christ as your Savior. The work is finished. The blood was shed at the cross of Calvary. And God has made this whole world savable by the work of His Son. Propitiation has been made. And salvation is available for you. Let's commend ourselves. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for these happy meetings together. We thank Thee for the responsibility of man and the ability that Thou hast given us by Thy Spirit, quickening souls to be able to respond to that call in the gospel. We do pray, our God, that if there's anyone here that is yet lost, without God, without hope in this world, that they might call upon the Lord to be saved this afternoon. Lord, save me. So we just commend Thy word to Thee. We ask Thee to bless Thy words we've had in the ministry, and that we might indeed desire to build up one another, encourage one another, and strengthen one another in the things that remain. And we pray to our God and our Father, that as those that are members of the Bride of Christ, that we might display the dignity of that one who is to be the companion of Christ for all eternity. Oh, how we feel the responsibility of walking through this scene as the sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Help us to walk with Thee, blessed Savior, responsibly and with affection for Thee, to lay aside our own desires, our own wants, and to live for Thy glory in the very short time that remains. We ask Thy blessing now upon our brethren who are traveling. We just commend them to Thee and seek Thy blessing on the remainder of our time together. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.